Into the Nexus is a production of amove.tv. Bookmark Amove TV for other great video games and esports podcasts. Into the Nexus is sponsored by listeners like you via patreon.com/ITN. Welcome back, everybody. This is Into the Nexus, the podcast all about Heroes of the Storm, and boy, is there a lot happening in said Nexus this week. I am your host, Garrett Weinzerl, and I am joined, as always, by Kyle Ferguson, and sometimes, as always, returning guest, frequently requested guest, Jeff Cannata.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man. Welcome back. How you doing?
Oh, very, very excited to be back. I've said it every time I'm on, but this is one of my favorite podcasts on the internet. It's a highlight of my week to be able to listen to it. I get to walk my little four-month-old son around in his stroller, and I'm always listening to you two gents talking about Heroes of the Storm in my ears. It's a delight, so I'm so happy to be here in person.
Well, that's just lovely, Jeff, as always, just flattering us to all get out. And as I say every time you come on, I'm a big fan of yours, so I still geek out every time I hear you say, oh, I like your show. I like that show that you do. It means a lot.
Well, very much. Very much. It adds value to my life. It makes me a better player. It makes me able to obsess about the game I love. So you guys do a great job. I'm so excited to be here.
All right, Kyle, it's up to you. It's up to you to not be in your usual role and not just be like super positive. You got something like jerky to say to be like, all right, you two scrubs, let's get moving.
I'm happy we're all here. This is awesome. It was an awesome weekend of esports. Valera is awesome. There's just a lot of good in the world right now.
There's a lot of good things happening in Heroes of the Storm. It's you're absolutely right. I mean, it's a good God. HGC is in full swing. We're going to talk about that a little later on in the news rundown. But we have our own news, multiple pieces of our own, like Into the Nexus and extended Heroes podcasting family news to talk about right off the bat, because the Heroes Charity Brawl. If you all remember that from last year, where Kyle and I and many, many other very talented podcasters from all around the Heroes of the Storm community got together and streamed for many hours on end to raise money the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Yes, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. It is coming back. Heroes Charity Brawl is returning for 2017 next month, actually just about a month almost exactly from today, Saturday, February 25th at 2 p.m. Pacific time. The Heroes Charity Brawl is returning. We're all getting together, hosts from The Core, from Lords of the Storm, from Hotscast, Heroes Power Hour, and this show right here, Into the Nexus. We're all getting together and playing a ton of Heroes of the Storm for a good cause. So if you would like to go, they're already, the GoFundMe is already up. It's already accepting donations. Already have had 10 people go and donate just in, I believe, the 2 days that this has been announced. You can go over to GoFundMe.com/Heroes Charity Brawl 2. So the number 2, go there. And if you would like to donate to a great cause, and then come and join us on stream Saturday, February 25th. For the Heroes Charity Brawl to watch Kyle, myself, and a bunch of other Heroes podcasters beat the snot out of each other digitally.
And not normal games either. These are always wacky games. Some of my favorites from last year were Battle for the Bullion, which was a Black Hearts Bay in which a team couldn't turn in until they had 100 coins.
That's awesome.
So they were piled up as the deaths flowed out. Coins just spilled everywhere. Another personal favorite was we did a Towers of Doom raid bosses. Cho'Gall, I believe it was Cho'Gall, Arthas, Illidan, and Kael'thas versus the good guys of World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And now you have so many more new options of cheats to add into your custom games to make wacky stuff happen. That sounds like a blast.
That's a good point. Yeah, we do, don't we? Oh, man. Yeah, the good guys versus bad guys one. That was where Kyle was on Illidan, and he made me scream eat a D, Kyle, at the top of my lungs.
Ah, the good times.
Yeah, yeah. It turns out, Kyle knows exactly how to bring the salt out in me. when it's not often you and I play against each other, but I can guarantee it's going to happen at the Heroes Charity Brawl. So if you would like to see Kyle and I face off and me lose, check it out. It's going to be a good time. So, but Kyle, we have other news to announce that actually pertains to you, Jeff.
Me?
You. Yes, you. We have new Patreon goals. We have a Patreon. I'm sure you all are very aware of the fact by now that we are supported mainly by our patrons over at patreon.com/ITN. And we actually have some new goals that are not too far off that are up right now. And those goals are basically recurring guest hosts, monthly guest hosts. And the first goal is actually, to have you, sir, Mr. Jeff Cannata, on this very show once a month. So a permanent recurring role.
I mean, I couldn't be more delighted. I like that I am also serving as an awesome speed bump to get to the really good goal, which I'm sure you'll get to in a second. But I will take my place as that speed bump and tell you guys that this show, you know, you're listening to it right now. You know, it adds value to your day. It adds value to your game time in Heroes of the Storm. Throw a little value at these guys. I'm so excited that I have the potential to actually be on the show on a more regular basis. And you guys can make that happen by stepping up to the plate and throwing your support behind Into the Nexus, which is such an awesome show. And you know, you'll get periodic updates of my quest to scrape my way out of silver. So that should be fun for everyone to listen to.
Yeah, so I mean, Jeff has actually, it's funny because Kyle and I's first show was about StarCraft, and there was like a zero tolerance for anyone that wasn't a god in that game. There is something about Heroes of the Storm where there is a much larger group of folks who are vocal about their lore placement and actually have a sense of camaraderie with their fellow everyman. And Jeff, you and me, let's be honest, we get to personify that. We get to bring that to the show. So we're excited to double down on that by bringing you on more often. So
yeah, and hopefully we'll see me actually improve over time as I learn from you guys more and more. Real quick, if you have time for a quick anecdote, you know, this season I went 7-3 on my Hero League placements, and nice. got placed in silver 2. And then for Team League, because you know, obviously Team League changed now and you can play with two people, I have a very good friend, big time Hollywood director Dan Trachtenberg, who I have talked into getting into this game, but he was just learning. So he had just gotten to the point where he could play ranked. And so he said, I want to get into ranked. So who was I to say no? I said, let's do it. And we got into ranked, and he was bronze 5, I played games with him, and we lost 9 out of 10 of those placement games. And guess where I ranked everybody?
Where'd you rank?
Silver 2.
Silver 2. Yeah.
So the system works.
What's the point of the ranked game, the placement games, everyone?
All I got from that is that by knowing you, I may one day get to get into a game of Heroes of the Storm with Dan Trachtenberg and lose all of my cool about how much I like his work.
Yeah, he's really into this game, guys. I'm so glad because I've been trying to get him into this game for like 2 years now. And now he's finally all in. Every night he's texting me going, can we play? Can we play? So, yes.
Fantastic.
More people are finding it. And you know the thing, as you guys have said on the show, the thing that got him into the game was the Overwatch, promotion where you can get the skin for Overwatch. That's what got him into this game. So it works. It works.
Totally did work. Like it also worked on Blizzard. Like yeah. I have friends who work at Blizzard who I never really saw play Heroes until that promotion. Like it worked on Blizzard's own employees. It really did. Like, there are so many of my friends, so many of my like my old school, like I'm talking Burning Crusade era raid buddies from World of Warcraft. I saw for the first time in years on my friends list popping up in Heroes of the Storm, being like, "Dude, when did you start playing this? Oh man, I need that Genji skin. It's sick." Yeah. And you know it what? Works. A lot of them stuck around. They found out, oh hey, this game's actually really fun.
Exactly.
I can play Tracer, but I can see what's happening behind me all the time. It's kind of cool. Right. So, but that's not the end of the new goals, by the way. We have another potential recurring guest host, Derek Arabian, better known as Dunk Train, the other most requested guest on our show. He's only been on once. Everyone, you keep asking us to bring him back on. So, the next goal is getting Jeff on. The other thing I think we forgot to mention is we're not just getting paid for this. We'll be able to pay Jeff and we'll be able to pay Dunk Train. We will actually be, because of your support, we'll be paying these guest hosts to come back once a month, to come and talk heroes on Into the Nexus. So, head on over to patreon.com/ITN, if you'd like to see, some more smiling, skilled faces on this very podcast. So,
I'm excited for Dunk Train, guys. I really am. Yeah, I think that's awesome.
I'm excited for Dunk Train. I'm really stoked. Having him on was a fun episode. Also, he stuck around for the after show games and had like the sickest Medivh play ever. So
you learn a lot in those moments, and we do kind of exist in these vacuums. I mean, we can watch esports all weekend and you see them rotate on Spider Queen between the top and the mid as four, and you're going, that's cool, how cute, but useless information for me in Hero League. Hey, three other people, let's do a rotation. No one's going to do that. But Dunk Train really has a fantastic way through his own streams and when he visited this show of taking that down to our level. And it'll be really awesome to break our vacuum of knowledge and the opinions that we gather up over the week with his information.
I wish I could like just upload his style of shot calling into my brain, because Kyle, you've been there. It doesn't happen a lot in Heroes, but we've been doing some hard content in World of Warcraft, and I just get right back into my old raid leader mode, and I'm kind of a jerk. I've got like zero tolerance for screw ups. Dunk Train was like the calmest shot caller ever. He was just like, okay, this person dies now. Now they die. We move in, kill them. Okay, all right, let's rotate top. Now they die. Like, I've never heard anyone like call out murdering so calmly. It was great.
That's how you know you're a badass.
Yeah.
Such a great contrast, too, because I believe we had Dreadnought on, and he stuck around for the after show games as well about 2 weeks later. And Dreadnought's like, kill these fools. Oh, these guys are idiots. And just, he systematic, surgical. And Dunk Train was like, oh, we might get around to killing him. That was decent. Like, we just destroyed the whole enemy team, but that was decent.
I hope you guys are calling the Dunk Train level of Patreon the burden of execution level.
There is actually a reference to that in the write-up for the goal.
Because now everybody that listens has a burden of support. You have a burden of execution on your support. You gotta step up to the plate and get Dunk Train on the show.
That's fantastic. Well, awesome. Well, we're really excited about that. And also thank you to all of our current patrons. And if you're running over and signing up right now, thank you in advance. Anyways, there's a lot of Heroes news to talk about this week, so let's get into it.
We're on, boys! Let's liven up this place!
Put me to the stage!
Click the play button, and let's get started.
All right. Like, you never know on weeks like this. Do we start with esports? Do we start with in-game? Well, we're going to start with in-game because Valera is live. And, guys, I'm in a weird place with this hero. She seems so volatile. Like, if I screw up even the slightest, like, somehow even worse than Zul'jin, like, it's over. It's just all over. I look like an idiot. I feel like an idiot. And I'm just embarrassed. Even if it's the early game and I've got a minimal res time, I'm just, oh God, I just want to crawl into the corner and disappear from the universe. But I love her. I really like Valera. And I can't tell how much of it is just that it's a well-done kit, how much of it is just my fanboy from World of Warcraft. I don't know. I think it's just all of it coming together, man. I'm really digging Valera.
I think if we remove the win rate equation right now from talking about her, her kit is awesome, and all those things can be increased in time of damage or duration of things. There's a million ways to tweak her to be better if that's an issue, and this is awesome. I'm even looking here at Garrett's favorite build at the moment, and this build would describe exactly what you just said. You went with Subtlety at level one, where you get the bonus energy regeneration when you pop out of stealth from being in stealth for 4 seconds.
Yep.
You're going, if you don't get that kill, if you're not two levels up, this is going to look real bad.
Yeah.
But this is a legit build. Every single build is legitimate as long as the situation calls for it. She's got more health than Thrall. Sometimes you have to walk in. do the damage, get him scared, get him to half, and then you switch on the stealth really quickly, getting a cheap shot and win that fight. It's so cool how just dynamic it is.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Yeah, she certainly seems like a high skill cap character, and I love that they're willing to go there with these heroes and creating such a situational character where you have to be in command of double the number of skills of any other character in the game, it seems. Just knowing what to do in any given situation, knowing what build works for the very specific role that you're going to play in that map, in that team. I'm so excited for her, but I think you're right, Garrett. She tempts you to get into situations that you should not be in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially with either of her heroic abilities. Once you hit 10, both of these make you feel like, oh, I can take what seems like a bad engagement, and if I'm a total boss ninja, I can get a kill and get out of there. But a lot of times, you just still die.
It's all about being a total boss ninja.
Clearly.
Clearly. Most of the time, I'm a worker bee ninja.
Yeah, I think the exact point. Now, I've only been playing her in Quick Match. I'm not going to take her in Hero League anytime soon. Let me just get that out of the way. Let me stamp that giant asterisk on top of all my statements about Valera today. She is just going to be my Quick Match jam for a while. I think the moment...
Well, she looks like first ban stuff, at least in the leagues that I'm playing. So it's, even if I wanted to bring her into Hero League, it's... Seems to be she's scaring everybody to a certain extent.
I can see that, actually. Can you, Kyle? Because on one hand, it's like if you're kind of looking down on the lower leagues, you're like, oh, well, she's got a skill floor. You know, you're not going to. But if you can learn a few tricks with her, you could probably clean up in the lower leagues.
I did lose against every Valera I fought in Hero League this week. I also lost against every solo support Tassadar that I fought this week. And wow. I'm loving Valera, so I'm very aware of what she can do. She packs a lot of surprises, particularly that 1.5 second stun from stealth. And people just aren't ready for it.
No.
And people are banning it out not because the win rate is high. The overall win rate right now is 41%. But there's just the chance that someone's just going to not understand what's going on quite yet. Same reason we're seeing Tassadar winning pretty decently in solo, even though those win rates can be lower in lower leagues. And things like Zarya in HGC. Because these shields are going to sweep in and just change the equation. Get him. Wait, no, we can't. Oh, now we're too deep. We all die. So it's such a dynamic character. It's going to take a while for the community to understand what she's up to.
Yeah, it's like these confusion characters, right? I feel like Samuro is in that same boat. It's characters that throw a monkey wrench into the plan. You get it, like you said, with Zarya, you get into that situation like, oh, no. No, everything that we were all on the same page until that thing happened. And now the shield is up. And now we're not all on the same page. Do we stop attacking that hero? Who do we attack next? And I think that, especially in the lower leagues, it's that chaos. It's that throwing a monkey wrench into the plan, because the plan wasn't loose and maybe not have been great to start with. So those characters, I think, scare people.
No, what I love about Heroes of the Storm is the dynamicness. Is this every game is different because everybody's different. I could have the same draft on both sides. But Dahako's bad now, and how does that change the equation? Think of Divine Palm on Monk. Yes, you stop attacking the target when that goes out so you can kill them afterward. But what if they're running away now? You activate it and they stand still as it goes for 1.5 seconds. Now we've snagged them and they're stuck. So it just so many different situations can call for different things.
Yeah, absolutely. My last parting thought on Valera is I think the moment I fell in love with her was when I won a 1v1 against an Alarak at equal levels. That just made me feel like a boss.
There are some really cool things. I mean, Sinister Strike, I'm really falling in love with two talents in particular right now. Relentless Strike at 4 that reduces the cost of it, and Mutilate if I don't need the movement. And that's completely dependent on what's going on around me, but that does 100 bonus damage. And if you can get a big fat Asmodan body blocked and just shiv your way to big, oh man, it feels good when you're just laying in there, twisting.
He's
that
such
knife.
A fat Asmodan. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I was already laughing because I thought you were just going to say fat ass, and then you turned it into a punny. So that's great. Thank you.
I did not play League of Legends or Dota, before Heroes of the Storm. Heroes of the Storm was really my first major MOBA. And you guys can correct me if I'm completely wrong on this, but I think that there's something so missing from those games when you have a situation like this where I can play a character and I am so struck and delighted by how they've converted a character that I know, or a class that I know from another kind of game, into this game so well, and it gives all that flavor and all those fun combo points that I use on my rogue and WoW and all those the poisons and all that stuff. You know, when they introduce a new character in those other MOBAs, my understanding is it's just like they just invented out of thin air, right? There's just a new character. And
yeah, well, that's what League of Legends did, and Dota just straight up stole it from Warcraft 3.
Right. But I mean, that layer of going, oh my gosh, the flavor of this character is fun. It is one of the things that I love most about Heroes is, you know, not only is the play style just fun mechanically in the context of a MOBA, but also I get that fun friction of feeling like I'm doing a thing that I'm familiar with in another game, and this character behaves the way I expect it to. It's great.
Yeah, it came off like a cheesy line, I think, at last year's BlizzCon, but when they said, hey, Heroes of the Storm is basically BlizzCon the game for us, I'm just like, that's cheesy, but you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, that it's one of the big reasons I like it. I mean, the big reason I like it is it gets rid of a lot of the, I think, tedious mechanics from traditional MOBAs that I never really liked in the first place. But then you just lather all of this Blizzard awesomeness on top of it, and, you know, the fanboy in me just starts screaming.
Well, and I think back on why I made a Switch in the first place, and honestly, the big sort of crowning achievement of their announcement of Heroes of the Storm to me was mercenary camps. Jungling was the best role in the world because you basically didn't get ganked. And as you killed what was mercenary camps in those, they just died and gave you gold. There was no pad to stand on, no drama there for esports in one case. But then you did nothing for your team. You got gold, you went home, you spent your money. But the fact that that actually has an impact on the whole team around you just really, really did it. And I think it's so cool that I became a good Zarya player in Overwatch because of Heroes of the Storm. I didn't get what the heck she was doing until I did it in Heroes, and a view I'm comfortable with going, oh, the shields, the energy, and then the thing and the grenades. And oh.
It's awesome. I mean, that's... It seems impossible to do, to have two completely different kinds of games be able to inform one another in that way. I think that's such a neat trick to have pulled off as a company.
Yeah, it's
well, Valera has released at 41%. Masters, don't get excited. You're not any better. 41% flat. Bronze at 37. The highest win rates for Valera is in Platinum, 43. So no matter who's got a hold of it right now, you're still going to give yourself a bit of a disadvantage. Best map is Dragonshire. Worst map is Cursed Hollow, probably because there's a lot of sight abilities taken on that map because things happen in those woods.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And in fact, I learned this week that Raynor still has sight drones, and it wrecked. It was awesome.
That's a really good point.
What a weird talent that nobody takes.
Yep. Oh, you're taking it against those Valyras, huh?
Yeah.
But you're losing against those Valyras?
That is true, but I felt like I did real good.
You felt Valera like you
was
did
not
real
the
good.
Issue.
Gotcha. All right. Fair enough. So, have you been playing her a lot, Kyle? Because I know last week you were pretty smitten.
I have, and I'm extremely jealous when I get in queue right now and somebody locks in Valera. It's oh, come on, that's selfish. We all want to play Valera here, but we're all kind of agreeing that nobody's ready, and that's a shame. I've also just been on a personal quest again. Tychus dropped down this patch even further. Tychus had a horrible performance in the weekend of esports. So I'm in the market, and as wise as I can, I actually had a crazy idea last night. I was like, you know what? I can't stop stupid. So let's try supporting. Let's go in there. I'm going to first lock a support. I'm just going to show it early. And guess what? Everyone was support that night. We had two other dudes go Brightwing and start showing all the different master skins and talking about how main support they were. I got muscled out of support, for gosh sake. People are eager to play passive because they don't want to be called out at the moment.
Gotcha. I understand that. That's what I do in Overwatch. Still not there yet in Heroes of the Storm. Still not my preferred method. It's I love doing it for my friends and premates. I will support Kyle. I will support you all day, every day. but not in my pickup games. No, thank you. No, thank you. But last thing I want to talk about was her heroics. I mean, if we're looking it over at Hotslogs, Smoke Bomb is just running away with it. And personally, after like playing multiple quick matches as Valera, Cloak of Shadows just, man, kind of seems crappy compared to Smoke Bomb. Like,
for the CC.
Sorry, what was that?
It's for the CC. It's for more extreme cases. I mean, 75 spell armor, 75% reduced damage on a pyroblast that is often used on stealthies to get rid of them. That's great. Being able to pop Cloak of Shadows and be unstoppable, and now be able to use your melee range to walk in on an ETC who's mosh pitting and get a stun out for your group with cheap shot. That's powerful. So it's all just situational stuff. But Smoke Bob, it gives you 25 armor. You just go, hey, Li Ming is always fine. I mean, no, she isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to mention, it lasts 5 seconds, which, like, for me is the big thing. It's like the big thing between Cloak and Smoke Bomb. And maybe it's just because of the naturally the way I want to play Valera, but I want to get loud, like cause everyone to panic, try and kill me, and then escape and laugh. And Smoke Bomb allows me to do that, whereas Cloak of Shadows only lasts for a second, so it's usually I can't stealth yet again at the end of it.
Take Relentless Strike at 4 and reduce the energy cost of your Sinister Strike, and think of it as a disengage. Use it for movement, not for attack.
Oh, I've been using it exactly for that. But yeah, this is also me admitting that sometimes I like to get loud in the company of possibly 3 or more enemy heroes. In which case, Sinister Strike isn't going to save me anyway.
The fantasy of wailing for as long as you can.
Yes, yes. And at the end of it, I can just be like, I'm cloaked. See ya. I'm out.
Yeah, particularly at 20 Night Slayer, 5 second cooldown on your stealth. 5 second duration on your Smoke Bomb. It's a match made in heaven.
Yeah, yeah. Her trait, man, I love it. It's so, I just get giddy by how much I get to annoy people. Like, if I don't get the kill and they do get the drop of me, I'm just like, okay, D, I'm gone. You just can't deal with it. That momentary, you know, second of freedom where they can't hit you, it's so disorienting. I love it.
You can absolutely see the biggest result of this character is poor Tracer. Tracer down 3% at the moment, now entering the lowest win rates in the game. Stuns, 2 second silence, that's a dead Tracer when she wasn't ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, feels good. Feels real good.
Sadly, Tassadar fell as well. And he got a rework that was supposed to empower him. And I think he's doing great. I mean, Jeff, have you ever been into the TAS?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a level 11, I think, for me. I played tons of Tassadar, you know, a year and a half ago,
right?
Whenever that was. But yeah, I haven't played him. I haven't played the new rework yet. I'm very excited to return to him. But I have had several solo heal Tassadars on my team, and it's been awesome. It's been great. I mean, we've been winning. So, you know, seeing his win rate go down, I've been, you know, worried about, like, should we have a second healer, guys? What do we need? What do we need? And, you know, the 3 or 4 games that I played with solo heal Tassadars went really, really well. So I'm surprised to see that his win rate actually dropped.
I think it's panic. His damage, even if you really go out there and give it your all, is just kind of middle of the road, no matter what you do, kind of like Rexxar, no matter how hard you're working. And if you throw a Brightwing or a Lili into that, they can do okay, but you just take too big a hit in damage. So solo support Tassadar is the way to go.
Yeah.
Well, shall we talk about some of the bugs that came in with the patch this week?
We can. Hopefully they'll be fixed by the time this reaches people's ears.
Yeah, yeah. We've heard from Team One. They're aware of these. Some of the issues are Zeratul's Grim Task talent does not cause him to lose his ability damage after death. So there's that. Artanis' Titan Killer causes you to do double damage from his seasoned marksman stacks. Good God.
Artanis is always a troublemaker with the bugs.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
There's apparently, in their words, tons of non-functional talents, mounts missing from profile. And Kyle, why don't you tell the folks your personal favorite?
Oh, it's the best. If the Punisher wipes out the enemy team, he will go to their spawn point, meaning he will skip all buildings and begin to BM walk into their fountain core area. Getting knocked back just like the heroes would, but just over and over and over again.
Oh, just my.
Trolling the team. I love it when the game just trolls you.
Oh, that is just hilarious. The Lunar Festival has also come in this week with the patch. And I am I'm biased. I like chickens. I have a podcast it has chicken in the title.
About chickens. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got that too. I want you to do a podcast about chickens, though. That would be amazing.
Right? I've always wanted chickens, and particularly those ones with like the fluffy bell bottoms that you see at the state fair.
Yeah, yeah. No, I honestly always have too. It's not. It was before the anger. I was my own hipster. I liked chickens before I had a show that was popular that had chicken in the title. I've always thought they're hilarious. So I am like all about the Year of the Rooster in Overwatch coming to coming back. You know, it's the second Lunar Festival now we've had in Heroes of the Storm. Bring it on, man. I've been sitting on a mountain of gold in games. So day one of this, I was like, 10,000 gold, here you go, give me my golden rooster. I am out of here.
Yeah, me too. I've been, you know, we had that brief period a while back where there were two 20K mounts. I think it was the goblin and the coin at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have 40K gold at that point. So like I vowed never to not have 40K gold at my bank at any given moment. So yeah, I've been sitting there waiting for something to buy. So here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. So bring it on, man. We also got some cool new skins. We've got a Lunar Li Ming, which I want so badly, and I'm sad that she is only available in a rather pricey bundle alongside Nightmare Fuel Monkey King Samuro. Nightmare
Fuel. Yeah, it's funny how Brightwing has to wear a monkey mask, but the monk just is a monkey, I guess.
Or Samuro is just a monkey.
Mask?
Is it a mask?
I don't think it's a monkey mask.
It has a monkey face.
Yeah, I don't think the teeth ever change in the mouth, so I guess so. But yeah. Still.
And now, thank you, Jeff, for reminding me that Brightwing has no good skins. Again,
I know, right?
Where is my Mutalisk Brightwing? What are you waiting for, Team One? It would just be money that I would just no longer possess the day that goes live in the game.
Or like a bat. A bat would be cool. Bat,
yeah. Deathwing, like a little mini Deathwing Whelpling. Like, that would be so cool. Go. Sign me. I would just, money. It's yours. It's yours right now. Just make those skins. But the main thing I want out of this bundle with Monkey King, I'll never use it, Samuro, Lunar Li Ming, is the Nimbus Cloud Mount.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't want to buy it. It's above my pain point on price, but I need it. The Dragon Ball Z fan in me needs it. So,
have you guys completed a quest?
Once. Mm-hmm. Every other time, it has just been the start of instant hatred between the entire team.
Yeah, it's not as easy as the previous quests have been.
Yeah, it's so difficult. How hard is it to pick up an item that there's an image of up top and put it in the damn circle?
You need to have a little cooperation this time around.
just match the picture, man. I will say one thing. I think, like, if you got to do it 25 times, and first of all, I've lost so much faith in humanity this week with folks' inability to match something. But the big thing is that it's randomized. Still, you're not gonna get it every single game, even if you still have the quest. And that at this point, I if you're gonna have a meta quest to do that thing 25 times, it should just be guaranteed. If somebody on your team still has the quest, it should just pop up every darn game, so you actually have a decent chance of getting it done.
I agree, and I don't really see the point of it not showing up. I guess it makes it feel special when it does, but it's just a bummer. I don't understand why they would just not just, this is the time when the Lunar Festival happens, so every game, if you still need to do it, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's classic Blizzard leaking in drop rates, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think that's, to me, like, I can point to that and be like, that's why people are getting angry. No one should be getting mad about this. It's silly. But because it's rare, it may not happen. Statistically, there's a chance it might never happen for you. You're going to lose your mind when someone doesn't know to pick up a circle when it's a circle at the top and bring it to the other circle.
Yeah, and there's this weird ticking clock that's happening of like, I got to get 25 of these in before this goes away. And I don't know when it's going away exactly. And,
and then it tells me I have failed to please the rooster, which, let's be honest, is the funniest thing I've ever seen pop up in the Heroes of the Storm chat. But Anyways, good luck to everyone out there. Go get your Lunar Rooster mounts. And hey, Team One, make that quest happen every time I'm in a game, please. Thank you. All right. So let's stop talking roosters and let's talk esports, because HGC is in full swing now. It kicked off over the weekend. I'm just kind of, this happens, I feel like, every time, Kyle. There's a discussion here to be had about how there's too much to watch. It's hard to consume all of this.
Sure. You're looking right now at two regions going about 6 hours and usually running over. So right there you have 12 hours a day. Soon, with the Koreans, the Chinese scene, powering up, it's going to be 18 hours a day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's going to be madness. But you know what? I think we all held our breath for a long time there and are a little shocked at how good it was.
It was very well done. Right off the bat, there's always something to say about production, right? And right now, it's just like, all I have to say is damn well done. Like, their studio looks great. The casters are in top form. I mean, they're casters that are tried and true. We're familiar with them, but still, they're doing a great job.
People management. Like, you and I have been through so many esports events now where we're just going, please, they're people. Let them go drink some water. They're dying. And, like, sane people who live in California showing up for a six-hour shift and then the next set of casters take it over for the next game. Amazing.
Yeah, it's great. And there's decent breaks, but they're not too long, so I'm hoping in that time that Gilly and Dredd get to go and have a glass of water, collect themselves, jot something down in their notebooks. Overall, I really enjoyed it. What were some of the highlights for you, Kyle?
There's so many games that happen, so many names floating around right now. I really have to break it down to, again, what I was absorbing that was useful to me. And probably the most surprising thing was Tyrael Monk and how well Tyrael really filled out Monk's lack of healing. And in fact, in such a degree that they often ran Monk in a more aggressive style, whether it's insight or damage. And that was really awesome to see. And we saw, because Tyrael came out with this Monk, Greymane was back on display.
Yeah.
So I was surprised to see so much Greymane.
Yeah, that's a really good point to bring that. There were a lot of surprises, right? The it was cool to see, like, good God, so much Tassadar. That was great. I love seeing Tychus, even though in NA he didn't do all that well. But, for a couple weeks now, Kyle has been like, Garrett, Tychus is out. Just stop taking Tychus. And I'm just like, well, the pros are still taking him.
And then I was wrecked.
I was watching all that Tassadar play going, he's not even going to play like this anymore. I can't learn anything from this. He's a completely different character for me.
Actually, yeah, that's a good point, because he's got that rework coming in.
Right, it was almost like they gave a final hurrah as everyone was like, they wouldn't be practicing Tassadar right now before the rework, right? Nah, just kidding. We're going to throw it in on you.
Yeah. Hey, do you like surgical placement of just perfect walls? Cool. Yeah, we have that in so spades. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The StarCraft fan in me was pleased, Kyle. I have not been paying attention to Misfits and Heroes, so I was super stoked to see Hasawabs kicking ass in good form. Did you see their game against Dignitas?
I saw everything, which is why it is mush in my head.
Okay. Do you remember the core denial and then the reverse core kill on game two against Dignitas?
There you go. That's all you had to say.
Okay. All right. That was amazing. I mean, again, that was Hasawabs on Tassadar pretty much buying the time that they needed there. It was just amazing. That makes me want to go play Tassadar. But like Jeff said, it's kind of like, well, shoot. It's kind of different now. But yeah. And then the other thing was, us here in the NA, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, Kyle, but I'll put words in everyone else's mouth. Like everyone else, I was rooting for Team B-Step. So I was a little disappointed in that regards. But we did get to see a 5-man mosh that iDream set up for King Caffeine on his ETC. That was really cool. And
yeah, so much stage dive everywhere. You're surprised to even see mosh being taken.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of mosh being taken in those games. And then also, if I'm being calmer about it, and Kyle, you're being nice. Kyle got the brunt of my, like, what the F is going on? My God, NA, oh my God, text from me to him. Now that I've calmed down, like, honestly, like, looking at the overall performance, like, BSEP, they deserve respect. I mean, they took two games off of Gale Force Esports, and they took one game off of Team 8, and those are the two teams at the top right now as far as points.
And they had to be like that because they were fighting their opponents, and they were evenly matched, so both kind of did weird strategies. The Zarya's were making things just bizarre throughout those games. Of course, you know, the Twitch chat was having their NA lulls and hating on a lot of players, and that's disappointing. But you know what? When it was all over, when the day was over, tidal wave of GGs across the screen. Everyone was so excited to be there, so excited for the next weekend. There was a sort of giant digital hug that went out as the evening ended.
Yeah, no, it was like overall really good. Like I got to be like a traditional sports fan again. Like, I had teams I was rooting for, but I still got to be my, like, old school esports fan who doesn't really care, just wants to see really good play. I got to experience both sides of that, and it felt really good. You bring it on, man. It's like the other thing is, like, this is gonna be it for weeks to come. Like, we just, it's gonna be nonstop. If you like Heroes of the Storm esports, it's not slowing down. It's nuts. After 12 hours of the course of one weekend, there's just more coming.
Yeah, the how quickly they got to a place of putting out a really, really great product as a you know, watchable, fun piece of television programming. Mm-hmm. They went from not doing anything to doing really excellent stuff very fast. And, you know, it's Blizzard. They have the resources and the experience to be able to do that. But it's pretty awesome. I think anybody that thinks that Heroes is lagging behind any other MOBAs is mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure if it's raw numbers, yeah, the other MOBAs are still king of the mountain.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Certainly. That's not what I mean. I just mean quality level. I mean, and of course the money isn't there yet, but the product on the screen is so fun to watch. It really is. It's action packed. It's, the games are quicker. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm biased, but I love it.
It's a difficult balancing act, right? Because one of the big critiques, we can say, well, there's not enough independent smaller tournaments for pro players to stretch their legs to become known in the community. But those happened in StarCraft because there was so much downtime between big events. With something like this, they're really working on exactly the system that is what it is, because Blizzard's running the entire thing. So they're working on the opens. I mean, those are being broadcast until 2 a.m. by Solid Jake. I mean, they're doing a lot of work in the background to make sure that these are the top teams that we're seeing. And only time will tell there. It was very fun to see people like iDream and King Caffeine almost pulling grandpa moves through the weekend. There are old stars. All the new guys are bringing hot new moves. These guys are doing, like, Entombs with a Mighty Gust. Like, it's almost quaint. It was beautiful. It didn't work out at all. But it was so just like, oh, that's such a basic interaction. But awesome thought process.
Yeah, no, I mean, you painted it like that was like Dunk or not Dreadnought even, like, made it a point during that, like, into my guess to, like, go back to it, like, it failed miserably, and he's like, well, hold on, like, we need to replay that back and enjoy the beauty of this even though it failed. Like, and that was it was a good weekend for Heroes Esports. I'm looking forward to more of it. Now Kyle,
it'll be very shocking when we get to the other regions. Though we're certainly seeing different stats out of the EU compared to NA already, and our other foreign teams tend to be a bit more surgical than the NA. I feel like in NA we're all, well, special snowflakes, individuals, and we all have ideas of our own instead of all sitting in one bush as a machine.
With your permission, Kyle, I would like to pull a direct quote from our tweet exchange from you this weekend.
Very well.
I'm trying to find it exactly. Here it was. This was about NA versus the kind of surgical play of foreign teams. Watch how they all act as individuals. Yes, Koreans have badass systematic executions, but I enjoy the scrappy backyard chain fights too. Kyle Ferguson, right? 2017.
And because I enjoy those sort of things, I loved B-Step because they came out dancing, doing their B-steps in circles, and it just reminded me of those 80s theme game movies. You know, with, there's the all the Mohawk dudes, and then there's the guys with the black lights, and it's just fantastic.
You're just, you're making me think of the bad Batman movies. That's what you're making me think of.
Those two. You got the Warriors, you got the Dragons. Right. Just all that era.
Fair enough.
That Big Trouble Little China era where we all agreed that was going to happen in future 80s world.
Fair enough. Fair. I'll give it to you, Kyle. Well, you alluded the stats, and you, like a good boy who did his homework, you brought a lot of stats to talk about on the show today. So what is the difference between NA and EU? What can we point to? What percentages can we point to show us in black and white the difference between these two regions?
Perhaps the most shocking thing is Artanis, and we love him in the NA. 92% pick rate, either ban or picked up, always in the beginning as well. Now, he only won 43% of the time, so a little shocking there. EU had a 0% win rate, but also picked him only 27%. ETC was really popular across all regions, 90% nearly in both, but EU had a high, high win rate, almost 50% more. At 53%. How strange.
73%.
73, yes.
Yeah, 73% win rate for ETC in the EU. While here in NA, he saw a 39% win rate over the weekend.
Now, we're dealing with a lot of individuals, and these are the pro players, so we can sort of put these stats on a bit of a pedestal. But even so, if a player simply doesn't play that hero, it won't get picked. So we can take these with a grain of salt. But like I said, the real shocking story to me was NA loving Tychus. 29 times he was picked. And he won 8% of those games in the NA. Oh, and a 50% in EU.
Ooh.
That hurts.
Something's wrong there. Mostly it's in this meta, you can't stand still. Tychus is dead.
That's a very good point. That's a very, very good point.
We also learned across the board that we are absolutely right to be picking Malfurion early. We were not insane to keep banning out Ragnaros. He had a 61% win rate over the entire weekend, picked 33 times. He was a force, not only for delaying, but burst, for sustaining himself. He just kept going in so many of these fights. Lots of versatility there.
I was so happy to see. What I love are seeing things that appear normal on the surface, but then you notice that thing that sets it completely apart on the pro level from your own, you know, games at home. And Ragnaros was that for me with the playmaking Sulfurous smashes. And that is just something I am not seeing at all in my own personal games, and was the highlight of my weekend watching Heroes of the Storm esports.
The damage is absurd. In the middle there, you're doing 617 damage. And that's the level one. That's when you hover over it when you're level one looking at it. It does close to 1,000 when you actually pick it up at level 10. It is a hero deleter. And sure, the stun is only 0.75, but who cares when they're dead? Well, it was said. Amazing. And I've seen a lot of whiffed Sulfurous smashes in my own games, but hey, I'm happy to see that that did have an impact on the meta overall, and I think we'll find that that's just a superior place for him to be.
Yeah, Kyle. Actually, the stun on Sulfurous Smash is not 0.75 seconds. It's whatever the current death timer is. All right. Never mind. Because they're dead. The best stun is death.
I see.
Yeah, awkward. Okay. I thought it was funny in my head.
Smooth.
Oh, wow. Failure on a massive scale.
Hey, Uther was picked twice, though. He lost both.
Yep. You got me you got me so excited, man. I was at a wedding this weekend, so I only caught the back half on later Sunday night after I got back from the other coast. You got me all excited with the tweets, like, oh my god, Uther was picked, and I'm sitting there like tying my tie, like, oh my god, and Katie's like, what is it? Uther got picked, and she's just like, oh my god, we have a wedding to get to, and then like I'm checking it before I'm about to walk my grandma, escort my grandma to her seat for the whole thing, and I'm just like, and I'm seeing all the replies of like, yeah, that didn't work out. Oh, that didn't. I'm like, I'm getting depressed about a game I'm not even watching.
What's the solution for Uther? I mean, we saw that big rework, and it really didn't move the needle on him at all. you know, he used to be the king of the roost. You know, he used to first pick, first ban Master Uther. And I feel like you tweak him too much the other way, he goes back to being OP, right? Because he's, you know, he's got those very, very powerful ults, and I don't know what the solution is to bring him back into the fold.
I think you can start to figure out what the problem with the hero is when you look at the most popular builds and how they are encouraging certain spells. Like, look at Greymane, and all the big builds and all the pro builds are nothing but Gilneas Cocktail. And, well, why is that? That's because Gilneas Cocktail is a useless spell. That's how we used to build Diablos, every single point into Fire Stomp, because it was a useless spell. So in order for Greymane to maybe have a full resurgence into the scene, getting Gilneas Cocktail to do something that doesn't need talents into it means that those talents can be spent on other things rather than taking advantage of this or trying to recover this bit of his kit that's bad. And I think for Uther, the exact same thing's going on with Holy Radiance. It's just whiffable. Your main heal is on a 12-second cooldown. Your other one, Holy Radiance, that wave is also on a 12-second cooldown. And in solo queue play, people won't stand in a straight line for it. People aren't prepared for that wave to come out. And so you have to put all these points into it, at least I do, to make sure that it gets wider, that it's longer, that it does X thing when I get a heal off, reduces my cooldown somehow later on. And then I'm able to do sort of a frontline-y, shoot the heal backwards across the team Uther, and I love it. And I want it to be legit. So I think he's in a great place for armor. Let's give him some of that fancy armor now. And whether it's spell armor or physical armor, that'll decide what sort of avenue we're going to take him in. I'd like to see physical.
If you're going to
walk up on auto attackers.
If you're going to give him armor, though, you need to make people want to kill him. And at the moment, you just ignore the Uther because his cooldowns are so high that he's not a huge threat as an agent to keep your other heroes alive. And he does no damage. His auto attack is a joke. So I would say give him armor. Bake in that increase width on Holy Radiance and make his auto attack actually something that you notice so that he's kind of fulfilling his role of being a tank in a way, a tank support. But he needs to do enough damage that you don't just ignore him.
We also are in an auto attack meta right now, which means heals per point of value are lower unless they're very mana efficient heals. Like Malfurion's heal over time. He might die before the heal gets him to a point where he would survive, but you're sacrificing that for a very mana per point of healing efficient heal. So as these auto attacks roll in against Uther and they just keep coming one after another, you know, Li Ming shoots a big orb, hits someone square in the face. Okay, holy light, countered. 8-second Li Ming, 12-second Uther, decent value, but three auto attacks out of Zul Jin doing just as much, and those keep on rolling, then you're using a heroic and you're already behind.
That's a great point, but it does seem encouraging that Blizzard is doing kind of, they seem to be having a pattern of doing what you're saying, which is baking in some of those things where you have to spend talent points to just build up a fairly weak skill. That seems to be what they're doing over and over, is just baking in all that stuff on these reworks.
Yeah. And we could very well just enter a meta where Uther's amazing. I mean, if you walk Uther in right now into double tank, oh dear, he's going to get destroyed just by the CC. And then you have the concave of three ranged attackers behind that. He's a dead man. But if we ever go back to more of a single tank, double frontline-y, and then like maybe one spellcaster far in the back, then Uther's able to get in there and stun the sustain, which is something we're thinking about a lot right now with armor coming in. As you move in as a Nubarak, you've got this huge amount of spell resist, stun the auto attacker, stun the sustain damage that affects you. Never use your stun on the thing that you're resistant to.
I like that. The other thing I'm thinking of off the top of my head that I'd like to see maybe played around with is do something with Benediction where it can be achieved earlier in the game. You know, because that's such a huge tool for Uther to be able to heal more frequently, right? So I don't know, tie it into a quest, make it an earlier pick, something of that nature, because it still requires skill, right? It's an extra button you have to press before you press your heal. It requires you not to panic in your support role. But I think maybe getting that a little bit earlier on in the game would do a lot to help Uther.
I got it. And I love it because Valyra is so awesome that she makes all these other heroes look less like Warcraft than her. Let's give him Devotion Aura. And so he's giving armor to everyone around him but himself. And so by killing Uther, you're getting rid of that reduction on everybody else.
Okay. All right. I like that. I like giving them anything that actually, I know it's strange because I want to play Uther, but make people want to kill me. That's what I'm asking.
Nothing's easier to heal than yourself. So that would be a great strategy.
Exactly. And his trait is only good if he dies. So again, why isn't he a juicy target? He's just not a juicy target. So anyways, that was a delightful little, I love when we get the geek out about Uther. Thank you for instigating that, Jeff.
Sure.
Oh man.
He's always been a favorite of mine. I love putting Lumberjack Uther on my pig. And I just miss playing him just for that alone.
I love that that's the reason.
Yeah.
Well, he's very assertive. And, you know, you get a nice polymorph on Brightwing. And it may have been the best defensive play ever. But Uther's right there in the front line next to the tank making things happen. So I miss it, too. It was my favorite support. I came up with a billion excuses as why it should be used. Nowadays, we got Tassadar. We got Zarya, too. So why even Divine Shield? So I think he'll have his day in the future. I'm not sure if you guys saw this, though. It's a great stat for us at home. If you feel bad about only playing two heroes, don't. There was some 10 different pro players that only picked one or two heroes in their entire weekend.
Wow.
That's awesome. I think that completely reinforces what you guys always say on the show, which is if you want to improve, specialize. Get good at one or two heroes and stick with it. And I have totally taken that advice. And I think that that's reinforced by the pros too. Like, what, you know, it's so difficult to be good at, you know, 8 or 12 heroes. It's just impossible. So specialize.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have, obviously you have to be competent with a few because you're not always going to get the pick that you want. But I think spending most of your practice time on a few targeted heroes, I still think that's the best use of your time. If you really just want to climb.
It's how we've been just this previous weekend crushing Team League. It was an absolute blast. Granted, when we lost the five guys that we figured out gel so well together, we lost every game. But we really started thinking, okay, we lost Li Ming. Let's give that player Jaina. And just like right on to the next one. We lost Samuro. That's our camping carrier. Let's give Kristen Sylvanas. And just being that assertive with it was really, really powerful.
Yeah.
Now, of course, in Hero League, you have to do one. You have to either tank or heal in addition to whatever your specialty is.
Yeah. Well, let's shift gears now. Not too drastically, though. We'll still be talking about esports, but let's talk about collegiate esports because Heroes of the Dorm has been announced for 2017. The Heroic Four National Championship will be taking place or will be starting April 8th at an unknown location. There's over $500,000 in scholarships and prizes up for grabs. The bracket challenge is back with a $10,000 prize. But that's not all. If that all sounded awesome, let's have ourselves a questionable announcement. It's not going to be. Hey Kyle, where would you think Heroes of the Dorm would be shown? Would be streamed and or shown to the public?
Why ESPN? And if not there, surely some sort of Twitch deal.
Right, exactly. But no, it's going to be streamed exclusively on Facebook.
Hey, you know, maybe that's a cool thing. Maybe there will be some people exposed to esports that would never know about it, and maybe they would think it was cool. I'm trying to find a silver lining here, fellas.
Right, and let's focus on that for a moment. Facebook is where they had people do the get together as a team and get a spider mount. That's a cool spider mount. But also it's where they focus their energies to get college students to organize teams with their school to actually sort of set up clubs, as it were, playing Heroes of the Storm and then go on to Heroes of the Dorm. Facebook is for college students, so this is a perfect fit in that way. Now, and then the second I got in college back in, 2005, they made it available to everyone, and that specialness slowly leaked away. But it was its original intention.
Yeah. I think this is really freaking strange, personally. it's very bizarre. It's not the end of the world. I'm not a big Facebook fan at the end of the day. It's like my least favorite place to go. It's just where I have to go and block my racist uncle. That's basically Facebook for me. So, but it appears after some quick Googling, because my first like thought was in it just pure rage, because I'm like, I can't watch Facebook on my TV. It turns out I can. I wasn't unaware of that because I've never spent any time giving Facebook the time of day. So
Facebook has sunk a lot of money into building a streaming system, and it's been sitting there for about 6 months, not really accomplishing much. Kind of like YouTube streaming, right? It's used here and there, but it's not the forefront.
Yeah, YouTube streaming, I feel exists just to annoy me when that's the thing someone has chosen to use as their only thing to stream on. I'm just like, oh, why is YouTube? Why do I have to go there? It's never easy to find a YouTube live stream. It's never easy to find it.
I think it's interesting that Blizzard recognizes that they have an opportunity to get these kinds of things that are not traditional esports events. This is more a sort of heartwarming tale about kids. And I mean, there's a story to be told here that isn't the traditional esports story that might actually open this up to an audience that wouldn't normally check it out. And so maybe putting it on a platform where people that don't normally watch esports are is an interesting outreach program. It could work out in their favor.
And I had overprotective parents, so I would be more likely to view things on Facebook amongst my friends and family rather than on Twitch, which would be a weird and scary place to them.
Mm. All right. Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, as long as I can watch it on my TV, on my couch as opposed to in front of my computer, I'm happy. That's what I want. I am personally disappointed it's not going to be on ESPN this year, because it was really cool the last 2 years, because I kept both years in a row I got to have conversations with my more traditionally sports minded family members who, you know, were just browsing around and like, oh, what in God's name is this? And they ended up like watching it through the finals and getting invested. And all of a sudden I was the one answering their questions instead of me asking them questions every Super Bowl Sunday. It was really cool. And that was an experience I've never had in esports. And I can guarantee you I'm not going to have it this year because it's moving to Facebook.
Well, I wonder what the story is there, right? I know that there was a lot of traditional sportscaster types that were slagging on ESPN for showing the them video games.
Well, happened. Some of them are questionable quality of human beings in the first place. Cowherd.
No, you have a complete agreement from me on that. I'm not certainly agree, but I wonder if it was Blizzard deciding not to do that again, or if ESPN. I wonder what the decision process was. That we'll never know. I'd be curious.
Yeah,
but we did get muscled last year. There was a NBA game or some sort of collegiate basketball thing that just the very first day was not aired, and it was pushed to one of the ESPN multi numbers.
So I think it was on three the first day.
A big blow to just the creators, the community managers at Blizzard who helped orchestrate this thing, the esports team over there, felt slighted by their deal.
Yeah, and I completely disagree with this Takeshi in the chat room. Says there's no story. Facebook must have paid a ton of money. No one, you have no way of knowing that. Like, nobody actually knows, and that's why I'm not speaking to it, because I've seen every comment, something like what Takeshi said, cynical things of being like, oh, ESPN didn't want him back, and that's why they're not going. We don't know. Who knows? I'm still going to watch it. Apparently, I can stream Facebook on my TV, so I'm still going to watch it on my TV. I'm going to treat it like it's the Super Bowl. I'm going to have a good time. So it doesn't matter. I'm looking forward to Heroes of the Dorm still.
And fantastic numbers all weekend through the HGC. We have to watch the Hero trailers for now, but that's just raw money area for advertisements. There's so much room to grow. And if Facebook is where we can get that bigger audience, possibly, then hey, go for it. Change is good.
Yeah. All right. Well, very cool. Before we take a few emails and wrap this up, let's thank a couple specific patrons over at patreon.com/ITN who are supporting this here podcast. We really appreciate the support, everyone. And again, at the top of the show, we mentioned it. We've got some new goals for some recurring guests, like Mr. Kanata here. So go give it a look if you haven't supported us yet. On this episode, thank you to Joshua D., Brandon K., Timothy O., Jonathan E., Jason, no last name given, Cheesy Wiz, T. Lee, and James M. Thank you all so much for supporting Into the Nexus. We very, very much appreciate it, and we hope you do not get stunned by Valera in your games this weekend. Good luck.
We got to get that Cheesy Wiz to hang out with Cheesy Bob.
Oh, we do.
some sort of Bob Wiz crossover.
Cheesy Bob Wiz. Cheesy Whiz Bob. I don't. There's something there. There's something there. It's like you got
a
like,
good Chogall name in there somewhere.
Yeah, you've got a good a good name for your duo. Or you actually, yeah, there's a fantastic Chogall name in there somewhere. That's a really good point. Although, wouldn't it just be like Cheesy Bob?
Cheese cheese. It would be cheese cheese.
Oh yeah, yeah, it would be cheese. Cheese
you're right. That's hilarious.
Chee chee.
Well, then that's actually kind of hilarious. That's also good. I'm completely down with that. So, very cool. Now let's wrap this up, gentlemen, with some emails.
Darkness stopped calling. Hold on. Darkness just texted me.
Okay, tell them I'm not here.
You can send your emails to itncast@gmail.com. And just before we take this, I do want to... I meant to mention it during the patron shout-out, and I forgot. Our patron hangout is going to be next Friday, folks. So February 3rd at 4 p.m. Eastern time on twitch.tv/amovetv. Details will be up on the ITN Patreon tomorrow. If you are a patron, the Skype info will be there. You can also leave us a question directly in the comments of that post if you can't make the live show. Cool. Go do that. Our first email today comes to us from Dechi, who writes in, "Your recent mention of your age and getting older strikes home with me as a 33-year-old fan. A recent Overwatch thread made mention that it is great to play as an older..." As an older? I love that. as an older whose snap reaction skills are decreasing. I am someone...
When you're old, you forget nouns sometimes.
No, I'm just going to refer to myself as an older now in terms of how I stack up to the general age of esports professionals. Anyway, she continues, "I am someone who cannot stutter step, and my Twitch-like playstyle is going down the drain. Do you think this will be a problem in Heroes going forward with Twitchy characters being added like Valera? What tunes cater towards an easier playstyle like Reinhardt or Mei in Overwatch? Thanks. Love the show."
May's just the kind of spray and pray, right? It's like you don't really have a goal. You're just going, freeze, freeze, please freeze.
Well, you're freezing them, so it's good for old people because they're moving slower when you're hitting them.
Oh, then you get to line up the headshot.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And it's
exactly.
Cold in here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And she's wearing a sweater, which you should always bring with you, Grandma, because you're always cold and I'm sick of turning the AC up.
So then is Jaina easier because once you land any of the shots, at least the next one's that much more accurate because they're slowed?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Because Kona Cold's relatively easy to hit, I believe, right? But you're also putting yourself in harm's way if that's what you're leading with.
No, it's just Vala multi-shot all day, all the time.
Okay.
Just multi-shot, multi-shot, multi-shot.
It's a giant frontal cone that you don't really need to aim all that well. Actually, that's a really good point. Maybe it is Vala. I always go back to Lili, man. You hit Q and the heel goes where it needs to go.
There you go.
Go for it.
No, you please.
I was going to say, you can counter this though with experience and being patient. I mean, how many games are lost because people are unwilling to do nothing? Like, you can out-old some of these people. And, you know, sure, like, one day, the VR will be so crazy, and we'll want to play as old men, these awesome, twitchy, gotta-do-a-jump-spin, DDR pad-to-run kind of games. And, you know, we're going to know as old men the exact best place to camp, the best place to snipe, exactly where all the young kids like to go to refuel their ammo, and we're going to destroy them with patience. Some call it camping. I call it patience and strategy.
I call it age.
That is so badass. That is so much better than anything I could have said. It is it's the Zen approach, right? It's use their own youthfulness against them, those whippersnappers.
Right. Make them think they got you. Then you hit that button. You take the talent where you can activate your Rainer whenever you want to get that heal for yourself, 25 armor with it, and you throw them for a loop and completely blow their minds. You and I will not be doing Zarya to an extreme degree. I can't catch Medivh with shields. I just don't have that reaction time. But Vala being rhythmic in lane, the curse pops in the top, you're in the top lane, and you just start building hatred. And already you're better than most Valas just by the simple fact of acknowledging, I'm going to build hatred on this lane and then walk straight into the fight. So I'm all ready to go. The fact that you said you can't stutter step here is just like, oh, you can. You can't. You're thinking it's too fancy. It's just about having maximum DPS during times you'd be moving, adjusting, repositioning so you don't get ganked in the lane you're in. Instead of walking to your new location, you stutter step there. You just A click, A click, A click, and I don't care. I don't care who you're hitting. That's pro level stuff. If you're stutter stepping while hitting exactly what you want to, cool. Otherwise, just make DPS happen while you reposition.
I think people that say they don't know how to stutter step are probably not using a move. You know, they're not attack moving, right? They're probably trying to click and then click off and then click back on the enemy and then click off and then click back on the enemy, which is very difficult to do. And I have a hard time doing myself. Attack move. Use your keyboard. Switch the buttons around if you have to. Make it easier for yourself. That all programmable in the options menu. Find where your fingers can go quickly. I am left-handed, so I have completely remapped everything in every game I do. There are ways to mitigate that stuff.
Yeah.
So I.
Now, A moving isn't the best thing in the world if you're surrounded by minions, because you might just start attacking one of them. But it's still a good thing to lean on when it's nice and open if you're trying to stutter step. You're absolutely right, Jeff.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the dream, is targeting exactly what you want. But in all reality, I mean, I know a lot of people who have gone and remapped their mouse button to be A move. And so they have move command on right and A move on left. And so they just click, 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 click back and forth as they move. And that's a very easy way to stutter step.
Oh, man, I might do that. I like that. And then I'm going to print an A move logo and stick it on my right mouse button.
You don't need the left button for anything unless you're playing Lost Vikings or Samuro with Illusion Master. I'm sure there's probably another one in there, but really, this method works just fine for just about every hero.
Yeah. Now, I've got two things I'd like to say before moving on to the next email. One is serious and one is off the rails. I'm going to start with the serious one by saying I'm going to get a little like old man on my porch now. Dechi, you clearly didn't know StarCraft, because my God, back in my day, go try and play StarCraft and then come back to Heroes. Like, Heroes is a great game for if your Twitch reflexes are just not where they used to be. You're only controlling one character. You can see everything that's going going on around said character. And actually, if you look at the esports landscape of Heroes of the Storm, it skews older than a game like StarCraft. It's actually more analogous to the ages are much closer to Hearthstone, which is a card game, which has no Twitch to it, which I find really cool. And probably one of the reasons I like the game so darn much is because I'm not 15 like most StarCraft pros.
And it's all relative, right? I mean, if there's a whole group of us that are old that are playing the game, we can all play against each other and be fine. You know, and that's the entire idea of matchmaking is, right, finding good matches of similar skill set. Yeah, maybe you're not going to light the world on fire in Grandmaster, when you're in your 40s, but that's okay. You can still have great matches with a lot of really fun people.
Yeah. Now, my off the rails one is like going all the way back to Kyle's earlier comments about how we're going to have to get smart with VR games when we're older. Kyle, you know how they can fix it is what we need. We need video games where age is a factor. And like, if you're an older character, you can just take a beating really well, because think of all your favorite fictions where the hero is older. Like, what makes Indiana Jones awesome? He's got no superpowers. He can just take a punch like nobody's business. He just keeps getting up. That needs to happen. They need like built-in handicaps.
So are you saying, built-in handicap. I got you. I thought you were saying like retirement powers. Like they go to school and we just keep playing. We just keep getting up for that next game and that next
game. No. I want my character when I'm like in my 80s to be able to just I keep getting shot, but I just keep soldiering forward. Again, Indiana Jones or like the later Die Hard films with old Bruce Willis. Like, what is he doing? He just has the will, man. He has the will to persevere.
It's like I'm gonna show how old I am by referencing a really old movie called Fried Green Tomatoes. There's a famous scene where Kathy Bates is trying to get a parking spot, and these two young girls like pull in with their little car, and they're like, "Face it, honey, we're faster, we're younger and faster." And then she just plows into the back of them and she goes, "Face it, I'm older and have lower insurance premiums."
Exactly. We'll all be typing body lag in our old age into the chat.
It'll be fantastic. Body lag. I love it.
Oh, body lag.
Yeah, I have a bad case of that right now, actually. All right. already.
All right, let's bring it on with our final email from Humberto. And Humberto writes in, hello, Garrett and Kyle. And I'm assuming if he knew you were here as well, Jeff, that he would include you in this. He said, how are you guys doing? The reason I'm writing this email is because I lost all hope on my Hero League MMR and I need assistance. All right. Okay. Let's have some therapy here. All right. Humberto continues. I have played since the beta, and because of that, I played on the ranked preseason. I was a rookie player there, and my MMR took a lot of hits, and I finished up in the mid-30s. Ever since, I have played in all of the seasons, and I have placed between Silver 5 to Silver 3. I'd be okay with that if my overall MMR was low Silver also. My Team League and Unranked MMR is Gold, and my Quick Match MMR is Platinum. Every time I enter a Hero League game, I know I'm in a lower league than I should be. However, it's not really possible to carry games alone. I end up not being able to leave Silver. I did 5-5 this season on placements and got Silver 5. I truly believe I am in MMR hell. What should I do? Should I skip one season so on the next one my MMR is picked from Quick Match? Any other thoughts? All right, got to stamp this again with the big old fat into the Nexus asterisk. Humberto, everything you sent us, because he sent us screenshots, are from Hotslogs. And Hotslogs is not entirely accurate. It's possible it's incredibly inaccurate, as a matter of fact. And I mean, there's really no way for us of knowing because we cannot see the actual MMR that Heroes of the Storm pulls from. Hotslogs is just guessing to the best of its abilities based on the games that have been uploaded. So that being said, your Quick Match, there's no way of knowing your Quick Match MMR, period. You have absolutely no way of knowing, for one. So, and everything else is just a league, which actually may or may not actually represent your MMR.
Also, Hotslogs takes estimations what they think Blizzard is going to do at a new season. If they say they're going to clear out Diamond, everyone who's Diamond League and Hotslogs will be lowered in their MMR by several hundred points to sort of simulate what possibly is happening at Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
So don't ever be distressed by a big MMR jump or decrease around those season switches. They're kind of made up.
Yeah. So now that I got the asterisks out of the way, Kyle, you always have constructive feedback.
Yes. So first of all, you're not playing enough. That'd be the obvious one. We are able to pull direct stats out of this, your most recent season, because as you say, you're probably disheartened, so you stopped playing after what appears to be a very rough Lee Ming game on Haunted Mines. In fact, Hotslogs has such amazing, amazing tools. I can go in here and I can see the time at which you lost XP. You know, right here, you guys threw the game at the 13 minute 30 second mark. I can actually watch little icons move around a mini map and get a feeling for what your positioning was throughout that match. I can see your bans. I can see your overall damage, how many coins you turned in on various maps. I mean, there are some real amazing tools here for you to just digest what could have gone wrong. And of course, some of that may be your allies. But we can say a couple sure things for you. And these are things you can look up at home. Set yourself to whatever date gives you the best and most amount of information. Right now I have our guys set to 180 days because I need enough numbers to actually digest. Get yourself off Muradin. This win rate, these games played too low. Stop touching him. You got burst and you love your support. That's all you need. No one's going to take that away from you. Stop doing camps. You're great at burst and keep on healing. Cool. We've already limited down your player pool. The next thing you can do is start selecting which hero you take for which map. And I cannot be more serious about this. The biggest problem with bronze and silver players is that they are too indecisive. They get on the map and they don't know what they should be doing at which time. You always have to be doing something. Every once in a while, there is nothing to do. That is a true mark, and you're going to have to just do nothing. And it's the best choice you could make at that time. But for the most part, be very active. And then the other thing you really need to acknowledge is how you play from behind and ahead. You play Kael'thas. That's a guy that can trick you a lot. I see a lot of out-of-position Kael'thases who, two levels ahead, would have a great worth-it scenario. Everyone dives the Kael'thas, he lands a gravity lapse, he lives, the whole team sweeps in, you're two levels up, you survive the burst, and everything's awesome. Everyone's like, man, Kael'thas, you really destroyed them. And they remember that into the future. You've got a level 14 Kael'thas, so you played a lot of him. Remember, when you're on the back foot, you have to position completely different. So when you start thinking about which hero you're picking for that map, how you're going to play them when you're ahead or behind, the final equation is check your map statistics. You have a 37% win rate on Dragonshire. Why? Ask yourself why. And can you make connections? Dragonshire has 2 points. Your other low win rates are Cursed Hollow, Sky Temple, Warhead Junction. Okay. What if, just based on that, you start thinking to yourself, maybe you have trouble getting position on time. Maybe maps like Infernal Shrines, with the ding and the amount of time you have to reposition, and the fact that pit lasts a long time, you don't even have to really be there on time. You can finish up your camp. You can finish up your lane and still sweep that thing. But on Cursed Hollow, you're late. Tribute's lost. So make connections when you're looking at your own win rates across the maps and start deciding what's holding you back, what sort of themes in between them are keeping you down. And as I just said, pick the hero that you know what to do with. Brightwing. You got a great win rate with Brightwing on Dragonshire. Why? I don't know. you probably know, though. What is it you do on Dragonshire that you know you do? How come Illidan has a good win rate for you here? Sure, low games played, but did you take camps the whole game? Maybe that kept you active enough.
Yeah. Back to his Kael'thas. He does have a very good win rate with Kael'thas. Although if I'm looking at most recent games played, like you said, there's just not a lot of recent games played. But his Kael'thas and Ragnaros have, 100% win rate, but only 2 games played each.
Right. So that those are good. Those are good stats. Anything above 60%, I'm very pleased with. Really, the other thing you can be super hard on yourself is, what's this Tracer here? Who's this Alarak that you haven't played at all at level 6? Why are these in your hero league? And I'm right there with you. It is so disappointing to be on your main and get manhandled, to be your master skin, top level, highest played Diablo, and just get wrecked because of situations outside your control. Realize that it feels better when I play Abathur and I lose, because I never once got body blocked or stunned or really participated in the team fight at all. It just... But that was a huge hit. I just signed myself up for, by losing that game, another half an hour to break even. And so with these, the 0% win rate with Muradin in the last 30 days, that knocked you down. And that's time you got to recover now with Kael'thas. And every loss takes you back.
Yeah. Switching over to all games played instead of, or all game modes for the last 60 days and not just Hero League. Man, your Tychus is on point. Almost a 70% win rate. Quite a few games played.
And that's an interesting one. You know, think about why is it that you can bust tanks, but maybe not play tanks? Like, that's another equation. Look through these, check your duos, what you win with on your team. You know, you do great when you have an Anubarak on your team. Why? 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 That's very interesting. Kerrigan. Okay, so maybe you're good at when your team dives, you have a assertive team. But then when you have a Chromie on your team, that puts you on the back foot. You only win 22% of your games you have with a Chromie. Like, this is the sort of analysis that you can really dig into on Hotslogs. And as you start to think about it, you may go, wow, I only win 31% of my games against Nova. Let's go play some Nova. Let's go see what the heck she's doing on the field that I don't understand.
All very good points all around. But
I would like to say two things. First, I hope you guys don't look up my stats, because I'm afraid what you would see. and second, Umberto and everybody else listening, if you're not a patron of this show, I mean, that is such comprehensive, useful, well laid out information. This show is so valuable for that. And I'm just in awe of you guys being able to lay it out so clearly, distinctly, and specifically. I mean, that is all like actionable stuff that you can really, it's not just somebody going, well, you should really have a better attitude and try hard and practice. You know, this is actual useful information. And I hope you guys find value in that and support these guys, because that's why I think this show is special.
Very much appreciate that. Why do I feel like someone's like, oh, for crying out loud, with the Patreon already? But
also, I want to be on the show more often. So come on.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what was your second thing, Jeff?
No, those are my two. My first Don't Look at Mine. Please don't look at mine.
Oh, gotcha. Well, to be just a little more philosophical about it, too, I will admit there are I agree that there are flaws in the matchmaker of Heroes of the Storm. But at the thing I always say, the thing that always comes up is what do you want? What are you trying to accomplish? Like, if you truly believe that, like, the system is keeping you down, why are you still playing the game? And B, like, what is talking about that? What is saying that? How is that helping you in any way, shape, or form? I mean, Kyle, your thing, the thing you always kind of harp on in a less kind of like, if we're not talking specifics, is that there's always something you can be doing better. Always. There's always room for improvement. There is always a way to become a better player. And if you become a better player, you absolutely can and will climb.
Right. And that's why I'm so insistent on practice and making sure you play enough to be good, because guess what? Nobody juggles while thinking about it. Why can those guys tell jokes while they do it and their things are on fire? It's muscle memory. Mm-hmm. And so much of what, you know, and sometimes you can have bad muscle memory, which is why, you know, I mentioned the Kael'thas with a really high level losing games recently. That could be just because you're walking out of positions that are otherwise good in perfect scenarios, going on autopilot. And, you know, let's talk to the system, the game itself right now. It is pretty brutal. And it's very easy to screw up a draft. It always has been, but when we get really powerful characters, particularly for certain maps, if people aren't aware of what they do, and then you got Valyra came in, which luckily came in with a low win rate. Can you imagine? First banned Valyra. Now we're not getting rid of Artanis, Rag, Sylvanas on the maps they need to be on. It would be really difficult. But you have to keep that stuff in your head, and those things recently changed. Valyra can come out of nowhere. She has an unrevealed state for a certain amount of time. So even if your eyes are amazing at seeing the shimmer, it is unrevealed for a certain amount of time, making it more difficult. You're going to have Artanis sweeping through the side lanes and grabbing your team and dragging them off to death. And you have to think to yourself, wow, that is so powerful. I need to put it in my head that Phase Prism is on a 16-second cooldown. That's a long time. That's the same as Blizzard. Okay, let's give it that attention in my head of Blizzard. Blade Dash has a 10-second cooldown, so he'll probably do one false Blade Dash in between each big swap he's going for. Now that we give it that level of attention, things are getting easier. Zarya's expulsion zone, really powerful, 45 seconds. It's not a mosh pit. You got to think of it. It's always available every team fight.
I want to add one other thing, too, because I relate to this guy very much, you know, and I think when we talk about MMR hell, MMR hell isn't this idea that you are placed at a place that you shouldn't be placed at, right? I think MMR hell is you could probably hang at a higher rank with a team of people at that rank. Like, you could probably contribute to that team and be useful and hang. Like, if you were, instead of being silver three, if this guy was gold four, it would probably be about the same win rate. Like, there wouldn't be a huge difference to him, to his experience, because he could probably just slot in to a group of comparable players at that win rate. So the thing that you have to kind of get to is that number and that color don't define your skill level. It's not trying to hold you down. It's not trying to prevent you from having fun. It's all about trying to create games that are still enjoyable. And if you're having fun, have fun. If you're not, don't play ranked. You know, that's something that I really had to struggle with, too, because at a certain point I was like, oh, I'm so frustrated that I'm not advancing. It's like, well, it's got to be about fun. And you got to be able to recognize that it's not putting a label on you that says you are bad at video game. It's just trying to create fun matches that you can participate in.
Well, and I love it personally. And it's hard to have my own medicine often. I fell to Diamond 4 this week. It was a spectacular 7-game losing spree. And it was really hard. And I went out to my living room where Kristen was working on Semuro. And she gave me the exact advice I gave her when she turned to me and said, why do I have to be better than everyone else when everyone else is awful? It's like, well, you're trying to climb. That's why you have to be better than everyone else. So it's so easy to get caught in that thought process of, I'm an amazing support. I'm an amazing this. if everyone around me was better, then I could climb. Well, the saddest and toughest part of that is you have to be the better one, because this is the community you're in. These are the people on your team, and that's not going to change. Be proactive. Learn how to polymorph aggressively on Brightwing. That's a very big switch. Think about how the teams are lining up. Kael Foss is a great option when there's Clog. Clog happens in many different areas. It's very common to be like, Kael Foss, let's pick him against, they took too many melee. Big quotey quotes, because everyone loves that one. Ooh, they took too many melee. They messed up the draft. But the Clog can happen in the back, too. Like, ETC's in the front, but there's Gul'dan, Morales. Why not? We'll just mess up the comp and do like a Lili and a Jaina. All four of those guys are going to occupy the same middle area. Kael Foss still has legitimacy there. Find every advantage you can. Use your nuanced heroes. Don't take something that you're not nuanced in just because it's meta.
Yeah. Yeah, and that being said, again, looking at like all of your games played over the like in a, from a recent sampling I'm doing the last 60 days, you have a good amount of games played on a good swath of heroes that are all handily over a 50% win rate. Like your Tychus, your Ragnaros, your Brightwing, your Zul'jin, and even down to like less games played, your Varian, your Kael Foss, they're all doing well for you. This isn't all modes. This isn't just Hero League, but you could zero in on any of these and be an effective addition to your team. Like Kyle said, if you're being the better player, which is what you're going to have to be if you want to climb, I think you could do worse than any of these heroes.
And remember, you're the better player, and that's, you have to be a bully. And it's so true. You got to get in there. And when they show Vala, you say, no, I'm a better Vala. And you take that Vala and you show your master skin. And you say, I'm the best Vala. And if they try to take Vala, you say, can you not take, like, you do whatever you can.
Yeah.
It is aggressive.
My favorite, my go-to is, I'm on a sick win streak right now. Like, if someone else, like, when someone else was trying to take my Tychus when I was just on a spree, I was just being honest. Even if I lost my previous game, I'm just like, I'm on a sick win streak right now. I have a 65% win rate at the moment over the cross of X amount of games. And they can go look at my profile and see it if they want. And a lot of times that would work. I'm trying to make them feed off of my positivity, off of my, my barometer, my measurement that I'm using to tell them that I should be on this hero.
I've even made false performances, like, you know, checking your backpack for homework when you didn't do it. Like, you're like, oh man, like, wow, Giant Killer would just wreck. Oh, how about Rainer? Well, yeah. Well, how about Rainer? Like, it's some sort of organic idea when I'm just here to spam Rainer games.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh God, that's so good. Yeah, but there's all that. And at the end of the day, I always come back to just play games. Do not stop playing. I get the anxiety. Like, you play Silver 5 and you're like so worried you're going to fall down to bronze. But at the end of the day, what is that really? Like, it's not like someone's going to show up and just like point and be like, yay, bronze, ha. Like, nobody's going to do that. Like, and if people on your team are doing that, A, they're also in that league, and B, you can mute them. So, like, oh, just log my games. God.
I forgot to tell you guys the craziest thing that happened to me. I when I was doing one of my team league matches with my bronze 5 friend, we got placed with two grandmasters, including a dude who was number 37 in the world.
Oh my goodness.
We were playing against them. Yes.
I thought you were some sort of like magical evener of the equation on their side, but you fought against them instead.
Against them. Yes.
Oh my.
It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I guess nobody was on. I don't know, but it was the craziest thing. And I mean, they took us out so fast, and they all, I interpreted it as a show of gamesmanship. They all upvoted the one player on our team that got put up at the end. They just all like epic voted him as like, sorry guys, sorry we had to beat you down. Man. I could not believe it. I was like, what is even happening right now?
That's so easy to take those as tilting, but they're so empowering. What a great puzzle. What a great opportunity to review that replay and see,
you know, yes,
what that enemy does, why they're better. You got to take a minute. You got to get up. You got to walk away.
I wasn't pissed. I mean, I get mad when we have even teams and somebody on my team does something dumb. When I'm playing against people who are that much better than me, I'm not going to get upset. It's like, oh, well, this will be an interesting experience.
Did you tweet out a picture of that matchup? I feel like I saw that at one point.
I think I did. Yeah. I could not believe it. I mean, we were just like, let's watch this guy. And he played Medivh. He's a name you would know. I just can't remember it right now, but he's a famous streamer. He was he's number 37 in the world. Yeah, it was like all our team was, I was the highest ranked guy on our team. I was like a silver too. And there was like, all, you know, two bronzes and then there was, it was crazy. I couldn't believe that the game made that game.
Oh man, that's hilarious. Man.
Yeah.
Please dig up that tweet at some point. I have just been digging through your images posted and I couldn't find it, but nonetheless. Anyways, Humberto, don't get discouraged. I mean, Jeff's absolutely right. Like, find the fun. Like, remember it's supposed to be fun. Do what is going to be fun for you. For me, it's murdering people. So if you can find that connection on a Venn diagram, there you go. Anyways, I think that's going to wrap it up for this show. Jeff, may you not get matched against Grandmasters in your games this weekend. That would be most lovely. Thanks again to our patrons supporting us over at patreon.com/ITN. Thank you for your iTunes reviews, everyone. We've got some new 5-star reviews to thank. Thank you to Thor, Tack, Hammer, and JSL Music. As always, you can find a lot more about Into the Nexus and a lot more episodes, the whole back catalog, over at amove.tv. That's AMOVE.TV. Huge thanks to our Patreon producers, Declan H. and Cheesy Bob. You can get the Into the Nexus t-shirt over at shirts.amove.tv. You can also get custom etched glassware with the Into the Nexus logo over at etched.amove.tv. We record this show live every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on twitch.tv/amovetv, or you can catch the mobile live stream over on alphageekmedia.com. Follow the show on Twitter at ITNcast, and huge thanks to Gorath and Brian Griffith Music.com for our intro and our outro music. Jeff, you are our guest, so you are first up the bat. Where can folks find your work around the web?
Oh, you can always follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Cannata, which is spelled with two N's and one T. I have a video game podcast called DLC, which you can find at 5by5.tv/DLC. I'm also on the /filmcast, talking about movies and TV shows. And that's at /filmcast.com. And I have a comedy science show called We Have Concerns, which you can find at wehaveconcerns.com. And if you happen to find yourself at PAX South this weekend, if you're hearing this before then, I have a panel, a live We Have Concerns panel on Saturday at 4 p.m. in the Cactus Theater. It'd be awesome to see people there. So swing by if you can.
That is awesome. And I would like to personally endorse /film. I listen to almost every damn episode. Love that show.
Thank you very much.
So, all right, Kyle, it's your turn. Where can folks find your work?
This week, find me on youtube.com/Kyle Ferguson. All the videos have been posted. The Valera video, gameplay and try mode, Rexar, gameplay, try mode, and Tassadar as well. The big reworks. Join me as I walk through the try mode and figure out how those talents are going to go. Though already Valera is a little out of date. I've learned a lot about her. And now I wait 2 weeks, right? That's what you got to do is you go, okay, it's a great hero. All right, come on, everybody, get off the hero. And now it's mine.
That's awesome. Well, awesome. Everyone, you should go check that out. If you want to find me rambling around the web, there are many places to find exactly that. I can be found on Twitter at @GarrettArt. I can be found all of my shows over at emove.tv. And other than that, just go check those things out. Also, I've got a graphic design portfolio with nomoonart.com. That's going to do it for this episode. Jeff, thank you again so much for joining us on this episode. Oh my God, you found the image of the matchup. Oh yeah, God, he found
look
it.
Look at that.
He
look
found at it. I got it. I'm trying to open it right now.
Bronze 5, bronze 3, silver 3, diamond 2. What is that?
No, I'm gonna stop this outro like mid read because I'm gonna pull this up into XSplit so the stream can see it. All right, here
Sorry,
we go,
I didn't
everyone.
Sorry to derail you.
No, that's totally goodness. Fine. Let's take a second and look at this. All right, yeah, yep.
It's K1 Pro.
K1
is the
Pro
guy.
And King Caffeine
you
and
God. McKin- what?
Yeah.
Wow. And McIntyre.
Matchup.
What? How did that happen? Did you tell me you tweeted this to the Heroes team?
No, I actually didn't. I should have.
You should have. Dear God, when did this?
Look at our team. I mean, we have one guy who is a diamond, but
Actually, no, those are those are platinum, aren't they?
Yeah,
those
you
are
got, platinum. You got a platinum with a diamond picture.
Those are two platinums. With a, one has a so diamond sad. Portrait. He's not even currently a diamond.
Wow. And on Sky Temple, no less, one of the most snowbally maps right now. I bet they...
God. Yeah, it was like an eight-minute match.
I believe it.
You went up against part of Team B-Step. That's... Oh, wow. Okay. Well, hey, if you're gonna lose...
lose spectacularly.
You better. I mean, that's who better to lose to? That's just awesome. Well, I'm so glad you found that. Anyway, onward with the outro. That's going to do it for this show. May that not happen to anyone this weekend. I wish that on no one. Except that Samuro, my game earlier, you know who you are, you meanie. Anyways, that's going to do it for this episode of Into the Nexus. Thank you all for tuning in. Until next time, good luck and have fun.
Take care.